Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. I'm Mitch Lawrence here in Myrtle Beach looking at a beautiful picture of Bobby Jones, Walter Hagen, another one of young Tom. Darren Bunch is out in California walking the highways and byways, no doubt, with Ragsy, his dog, and a bag of hickories. We're glad you're with us. You've made us part of your regular podcasting routine, we hope. iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Player FM, and now, as you know, at the fabulous, my word, golftripx.com, at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Darren, you can find now in an historic achievement at Golf Getaways on both Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, throughout the online universe. Darren, you and I have done, I don't know what, 2 million shows now?
It feels like that.
Something like that. But when we have a chance to really talk to somebody that not only we respect, don't let Tom hear this, that we really respect, but that we also really, really like and enjoy being around, a friend, this is one of our favorite podcasts.
Oh, man. Tom is a longtime travel buddy. It's Tom Bedell who is going to be on the show today. Longtime travel buddy. He's a writer. You name it. He does all kinds of things. We're going to get more on what he's up to right now a little bit later. He's also quite the comedian. I have been on a few trips, and I have never seen him not grab a microphone when it is offered and start telling jokes, some of them good, some of them bad. We're probably going to have him close this episode with one of those jokes. I can't tell you whether it will be funny or not, but it will be memorable. For this episode, though, he's our resident beer expert. He's going to give us his I feel like I've been drinking already.
Good job,
Darren. He's going to give us his perspective through a very foamy lens on traveling Alabama as we wrap up our package of Alabama content here at Golf Trip Experts. We have been doing all kinds of Alabama content, and this will be one of the final pieces. There's one other piece, too, I want to mention, Mitch, for people out there listening. By the time they listen to this, a piece that Eric Hart has done for us that is Alabama from A to Z is going to be up on the website, and it is fantastic. I mean, you know Eric, and Eric doesn't do anything halfway. So it has, in some cases, multiple items for each letter. And I mean, if you want an overview of golf and travel in Alabama, the Alabama A to Z package is going to be what everybody needs to check out so they can start planning their trip. But in the meantime, we are going to talk about beer as well. And Tom has made a career out of drinking. And there aren't a lot of guys who can say that, or at least not a paid career. So Mitch, hit it. Give the readers the readers.
Mitch, boy, hit it. Talk about a flashback.
Mitch, hit it and give the listeners the full bio on who Tom Bedell is.
All right. Well, I can't do the full bio because he's done way too much for that. But I will say that if you look at Tom's Twitter bio, I love this. It says golf, beer, writing, reading, travel, not necessarily in that order. And both of us know Tom. We know that's true. He's coming to us today and joining us from Vermont outside of Brattleboro. This when I started really, I mean, I know Tom, and so you have a tendency when you know people to just be with them, talk to them. You may find out some stuff, but in getting ready for the podcast, you know, I went and looked around and read some other things that I hadn't read before. Check this out. Tom is, as far as he knows, and he has researched this, if I know Tom, he's the only member of both the writers, the Golf Writers Association of America, and the North American Guild of Beer Writers.
Who knew?
Now, for listeners, I want you to raise your hand if you knew there was a North American Guild of Beer Writers.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought so. All right. He's written extensively about both golf and beer and a whole lot more. Countless articles, all of them great. Several books. He began writing, and I want to talk to Tom about this. He began writing about beer before golf, which I found interesting because so much of the time we just assume that beer and golf go together for a lot of people. But we can honestly say that Tom is the only guest on Talking Golf Getaways that is a certified beer judge.
My wife's certifiable, but that's okay.
Well, we've had a lot of people on who I know drink a lot of beer, but they are not certified beer judges. He is also a contributing editor to the Encyclopedia of Beer. Now, I didn't know there was such a huge tome. I don't know if you did, Darren, but I didn't.
I did not.
Okay. See,
it should be important to note here, Mitch, that you know you and I are not beer drinkers.
Well, I was going to get
so that's really why we need Tom for these things.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I just can't even understand that, guys.
Just don't hang up. Don't hang up.
I mean, for me, a day without beer is like a day without sunshine.
Let me just finish this up. I just want to give our listeners a sense of really what a really fantastic career you have had and continue to have. Fantastic articles for publications as varied as Travel and Leisure Golf, Golf Connoisseur, very nice, Virtuoso Life, The Met Golfer, one of my favorite publications, many others on both subjects of beer and golf, and all kinds of other things. He has reaped some well-deserved awards for all that strenuous, oh-so-strenuous travel and leisure along the way. I just got finished reading a tremendous article that you wrote that I loved, Tom, that had to do with, it was a review of McLaren's and Looper magazine and just great stuff. They were so not just interesting, but really thoughtful, well put together. I loved reading it. It taught me a lot. And I hope people can really just all they have to do again at Tom Bedell on Twitter. You can go to Facebook also, but just Google Tom. He pretty much owns Wikipedia is the way I look at it, but we're happy he could find some time between sips. And I was going to say shots, but that implies you and me, Darren.
Yes.
So let's just say sips and ball striking to talk to us here on Talking Golf Getaways. Tom, it's great to have you with us, man.
Well, as soon as I stop blushing, I'd be happy to talk to you. My goodness.
Do you want to give us some kind of heads up?
Well, everything you said was absolutely true, especially about how great I am, no question. I do write mostly about beer and golf, and my well-used line about that is the research is killing me, but I'm going to keep right on doing it.
How long have you been doing this? And when I say that, journalism, not drinking beer, although you could tell us how long you've been doing that as well.
Actually, I started out, I was worked for a weekly newspaper way back in the 70s, and I did that for about 5 years, and I just started seeing stories in papers and thinking, freelance writing, what's that all about? And I thought, well, maybe I could do this. And I sent out a proposal and I sold my first proposal to write a freelance article, quit the newspaper job, and I've been freelancing ever since. I used to write about anything and everything, but somewhere along the line, I got the idea to do a few beer articles, and that set me up for years. I was doing nothing but that. And then I made the fatal error of starting to play golf again. And then writing about golf became 90% of what I did, I would say, for years, until I wrote my first beer article for a golf magazine. And the two have been running amixed ever since.
Were you a real, I won't say a beer drinker, because I think a lot of people find a beer they like. And as Darren said, we're not really beer drinkers, but people find a beer they like, they tend to stick with it, as with most things. Were you somebody who actually liked the differences? And when we started, you and I are kind of up there in years, let's say that.
I was drinking beer before there was any such thing as craft beer.
Right, right.
So mostly all that was around was your yellow fizzy water belly wash. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tended to drink Schlitz most of the time. I guess I did, you know. I had a favorite beer, but I got mighty tired of those. And I took a cross-country trip with a friend after I got out of the Army after college and kind of went in search of regional beers, which was all the only different beers that were around at that time. And that was fascinating. You know, Hams in Washington or Stroh's in Detroit, Pearl down in Texas. So that was, I suppose, where I got the idea that there are different beers out there. And then when the craft beer movement came along, well, it was like, okay, this is finally happening. And now, I mean, 35 years later, something like that, the craft beer industry has just taken over the world, really. And now there's just more beers than I could even hope to drink. Sort of like golf courses. Too many courses, too little time.
What's funny is, you know, I get this thing a lot, and Mitch does too, where when we tell people what we do for a living, they're like, oh, how do I get your job? But I think if you told people that you drink beer for a living, not even, and just took the golf component out of it, which we have, there's probably way more guys out there who would say, oh man, how do I get that job?
Yeah, for sure. It's like, oh, can I carry your bags for you? Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so Tom, we've been to Alabama together, and this is loosely tied to our Alabama package that we're doing on Golf Trip Experts. We've been doing a couple of months worth of all things Alabama. Mitch is gearing up for a trip. Isn't that correct, Mitch?
That is. I'll be going to Gulf Shores in November.
So give us a few places, Tom, that really stand out in your mind throughout the state of Alabama, whether it be for golf, for the resort, for beer reasons, you name it.
Yeah, I went to Alabama, I would say, twice in the last 2-3 years, once up north and once down on the coast where Mitch is going. And wherever you go in Alabama, you're going to wind up playing on the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail, no doubt. And I would, you know, there's just those golf courses all over the place, a construction project when it was done. I've spoken to Roger Rurich, who was actually Trent Jones' chief lieutenant back then. And, you know, it was a construction project that dwarfs the pyramids of the pharaohs, I think. They had like 700 people building all these golf courses all over the state. And, of course, it's been a great boom for Alabama tourism. And the courses are uniformly fascinating. I'm sure if you get on one or two of those, you're not going to be disappointed. I would say my favorite was probably Silver Lake.
Silver Lakes, yeah. Has three nines down there that people love.
Three distinct nines. Purcell Farms is a terrific course. Down in the coast, Kiva Dunes toward Mobile. That's a real nice course. Jerry Pate design. First time I went, actually, I went and played that about 10 years ago, I think. Jerry Pate was there. He was playing. He played 9 holes, and then he said he took out his fishing pole and stuck it in the water down there. And, of course, some of the trail courses also have some lovely resorts attached to them. And if this is a fam trip you're taking, Mitch, I'm sure you'll probably wind up in those two. And, again, won't be disappointed. And as far as the beer goes, Alabama is an interesting case in point. As I said, the craft beer phenomenon is really worldwide now. But in the U.S., it was pretty slow to arrive in the South. And I would say as late as maybe 2011, Alabama was pretty much near the bottom of the barrel as far as interesting new craft breweries going. But I would say in the space of about 5 years, one statistic I read said that their growth rate over that 5 years was something like 6,000.
Wow.
And now they've got breweries all over the place, too. When we went to Huntsville, a lot of action around there. Birmingham, Northern Alabama has a Northern Alabama craft beer trail.
Right.
Probably inspired by the Trent Jones Trail. And I think when I went in 2018, they had about 8 breweries that you could visit and get a card and everything. Now they're up to a dozen at least. And all of them brewing very good and very interesting beers.
What is it that you're looking for when you say that? You know, very interesting beers. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what's a beer aficionado looking for in a great brew?
Well, I'm not looking for Bud Light, for example. I'm not looking for Coors Light. I mean, these are the kind.
Well, there's two sponsors we won't get.
Exactly
now,
what I was thinking. Damn you, Tom.
Sorry about that. I drank my share of those in college, and as you get older, it's time to move on, and your palate gets a little more sophisticated, and that's what I'm looking for, basically, is a good flavored beer. And I'm also looking for beers that diverge from just a pale yellow lager. There's so many different styles of beer out there that if you're only drinking pale lagers, you're really you're depriving yourself of great variety, great flavors, great different experiences, beers you can match with different foods, different seasons. But as always, my thinking is, you know, think globally, because I like to travel, but drink locally. So you try to find the local craft brewery, the local brew pub, a good restaurant or pub that's just serving a bunch of different beers and hopefully a lot of local beers. That's kind of what I'm looking for.
I was going to say, there's one thing that when I've traveled with you, you ask for when you're ordering beer. And I think I asked you once upon a time why, but yeah, for the listeners, you always ask for a cold glass.
No, just the opposite.
Oh, okay. It's the other way around. You don't want it in a cold glass.
I don't want it in a cold glass. And usually, I know you go to a place and they'll pull a mug out of the freezer, so it's encrusted in frost. And that's going to cut down on the flavor of the beer. So ideally, you want a non-frosted glass and you want a beer that's not ice cold, because that will mask some of the flavors of the beer. You know, you hear people going to England and say, oh, I can't drink English beer, it's too warm. It's never really served warm. It's sometimes served at what they'll call cellar temperature. It's down in the cellar somewhere that's fairly cool to begin with. But those beers have more flavor, more character, because they're not just ice cold.
So it's very much like wine. It's like drinking wine in a lot of ways from the temperature standpoint.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting.
You also want to put it in a nice glass, like a wine glass, so you can swirl it around and look at it and take a sniff of it. You know, there's no excuse for drinking beer out of a bottle anymore. Just pour it out in a glass so you can have a looking at it.
Do you have to rein yourself in? Because when I watch, most people drink beer. They don't drink it that way. They don't really seem interested in drinking it that way or being as, concerned with the way that you look at and taste and drink beer. In other words, everybody's kind of used to wine being the thing that people seem to have some kind of deeper affiliation with when it comes to taking your time and really looking at it and seeing the color and swirling it, smelling it, you know. But most people don't give beer that kind of time.
Well, you're not hanging around the right people.
Well, if I were around you more, I would. The people that I know usually get six at the clubhouse when they're making the turn and take a can, finish it, and then crack it on their heads and throw it in the back of the golf cart.
Yeah, those people and I aren't drinking in the same circles. That's true. I mean, you'll always have the cheap beer drinkers who are just interested in, you know, slugging them down and not really caring what they're drinking as long as it's give them a little buzz or a little swing oil out on the golf course. But just like wine, you know, the unexamined beer isn't necessarily worth drinking. It's worth paying attention to. It's worth thinking about what you're drinking, what you're imbibing. Drink better, not more, is always a good idea. And beer is just as noble a beverage, probably just as old, if not older, beverage than wine. Goes just as well with food and better with some foods than wine. So those of us who have been around doing it for a while know that it's just as worthy of respect and thoughtful drinking.
Tom, aside from beer just a little bit, you and I embarked on a journey, on a bus trip one night when we were in Alabama down to a very, very popular drinking establishment that is on the Alabama-Florida border, called the Florabama, appropriately. Did you drink any beer that night, or did you just drink those frozen bushwhacker drinks that place is known for?
Yeah, I think I've tried to forget about that. they didn't have anything too exciting, as I recall. But I may have slummed that night. I mean, you know, I'm not a total purist. I may have been thirsty and had something not quite craft beer-like, but But I don't actually remember because the floor of BAM itself is so mind-boggling. Just walking into the place gets you feeling kind of drunk anyway.
Yeah, Mitch, you need to know about this because my guess is your trip will include a visit to the Floribama, and they're notorious for this frozen, chocolatey, crazy drink called the Bushwhacker that everybody drinks there. It is a music venue, really, with music going on in all these different rooms of what is essentially this giant house, and it'll be interesting. I want to see many pictures of you and Ava pounding the Bushwhackers while you're there on the trip.
There's a phrase I didn't think I'd ever say, pounding the Bushwhacker.
The Floribama used to have a pretty notorious reputation, and may still. It actually used to straddle the Florida-Alabama line, but then it burned down to the ground about a decade ago or so. They rebuilt it, but I think it's on one side or the other, and I frankly can't remember which side it is.
All right, I'll let you know. I'll do some modern scouting.
But you know, you go in there and there are women's bras hanging all over the place, and well, how'd they get there?
I guess that's the first question I'll be asking.
Yeah, it's like an extreme southern honky tonk with a little bit of everything there. It's quite the interesting place.
That sounds great.
Yeah, okay, it was rocking.
Tom, we're obviously we're focusing on Alabama in a certain way here. But if you look for those listeners, if you look at Tom's Twitter feed, you will be blown away by the amount of different places that Tom is at saying, here drinking this kind of beer, here drinking this kind of beer, here drinking that. Literally, you can go for I don't know how many threads before you see a picture of anything else. It's amazing to me. And obviously,
I do have like two beers a day. That's kind of like my normal thing. Obviously, if I'm on a trip, I might indulge a little bit more. But there's actually a beer app. There's an app for everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a beer app called Untappd, UNTAPPD.com.
Spelled like somebody who's been drinking.
Yeah, apparently so. And you can put all your beers in there, and then if you want, it throws it right over to Twitter, and off you go.
Well, that's great. What amazes me, though, about this whole part, I mean, we obviously on this show talk mostly about golf and the things surrounding golf, but this whole thing, and again, to somebody who really has not been into beer, is amazing to me. Do you have... Given how much the craft beer and IPA frontier has exploded lately, do you have a hard time kind of dialing all that into what you can, dare I use a different word, digest at any given time? In other words, I go to different places and I walk in there and I have no idea what kind of beer there is.
Right.
Because they're all different. It was much easier when I'd walk in and say, I want a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yes, and people still drink Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's why if you go into a decent place and just say, here's what I like, what do you have that's similar? Mm-hmm. Or is there something different I might like trying? And if so, what's it like? You go to a decent beer bar these days, they would let you try a sample of some of the beers. I don't have any problem. I mean, because I usually these days will have something I haven't had before because I'm curious what it is. If I haven't had it, I'd like to try it. But also lately, I realized, boy, I've been doing so much of that, I'm neglecting some of the old classics, like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, for example.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first craft beers from... Yeah, it's got to be about 35 years old now. Still a great beer. Hasn't changed a bit, but it's still great.
Do you have a can up on your wall?
A can? No.
Of Sierra Nevada? Just as a tribute?
Well, I can blame my wife for this. She wishes she'd never said it. But one time, long time ago, she said, why don't you start a beer bottle collection?
There you go.
Our entire downstairs, where we don't live, it's the entrance room to our house, is the beer room. And we have multiple shelves with many hundreds of beer bottles lining the walls. The only prerequisite has to be a bottle that I personally emptied or at least tried some of. And she did cut me off in the year 2000. She said, no more bottles. If you put one up, you got to take one down. So, okay. But I still sneak a few in.
So, Tom, you mentioned the Northern Alabama Craft Beer Trail. There have got to be a lot more of those types of destinations out there and places that in your line of work, you can mix golf and drinking very effectively. Do you have some favorite golf destinations, either here in the U.S. or abroad that, you know, are kind of the top of the line for beer enthusiasts?
There are a few, although, as I said, almost anywhere these days, you can, you know, with a little research beforehand, you could probably find a place to go to that'll satisfy your curiosity. I'm not too long back from a trip to Northwest Ireland. And of course, you go to Ireland, you think, okay, Guinness. Well, of course. And I drank my share of Guinness over there. But even Ireland is onto the craft beer trend. So it was fascinating to go to different golf clubs, courses, and see if they had anything local on tap, which some did. Still, it's not quite the fervor that it is here in the U.S., but they're into it too. So they're not the best, but of course it's Ireland, so can't beat that.
Let me ask you real quick, just as a follow-up there. Speaking of Guinness, and that you are I don't want to call you a beer snob, but I mean, you have an elevated appreciation for beer, and I would assume for Guinness. We have a friend who's been on the podcast, Ryan Hyman from iGolf Reviews, and his favorite drink when we go to Bandon is to get a Guinness float. So he gets essentially a root beer float that is made with Guinness and then has whipped cream and chocolate sauce dribbled on the top of it. Is that the type of thing you might try?
That's the type of thing I might run away from. You know, I might pour Guinness over a brownie or something, or drop an oyster in it, but I don't know about ice cream.
All right, sorry. I just had to throw that in there. Go ahead. Go on with your other.
I don't try anything once. Tell you the truth.
Right.
Are there any destinations in the States that have a collection of great kind of beer option places?
Yeah, you could go anywhere now, but I'll mention two. One would be my home state here of Vermont. We have more breweries per capita in Vermont than any other state, and some of the best. And we're very well known here for double IPAs. Heady Topper is like a world famous. It was named the best beer in the world for about 3-4 years in a row.
No way.
Yeah, it
wow.
was. And it's a brewery up north called Hill Farmstead, which, you know, through some beer ranking has been named the best brewery in the world for like the last 5 out of 6 years, something like that.
Wow.
So, but Vermont's a small state. I mean, we really actually only have about 60 breweries. There are probably more breweries in the town of Portland, Oregon, than the entire state of Vermont. But nonetheless, per capita, mm-hmm. We're never too far from really good beer here in Vermont. And there's a lot of good golf here in Vermont as well.
Give us a few places. If we're coming to Vermont to drink beer, where should we be playing golf?
Yeah, you'd probably want to go up north and play at the Country Club of Vermont. You'd want to play Jay Peak. You'd want to play Stratton and Stowe. Some of the ski resort courses are very nice. My home course, Brattleboro, is, you know, a hidden gem, frankly. And, you know, you're never too far from another course either. So there's just no end of good golf and beer here in Vermont. I would nominate San Diego as probably the best confluence of golf and beer. I mean, I don't really need to tell you about the golf in San Diego. It's just loaded. And Stone Brewing is out in San Diego. They're ones who really got the West Coast IPA style going. And there are just hundreds of breweries out in San Diego. And if I had to pick one spot in the U.S., that would be the place to go if you're a real golf and beer nut.
Oh, and there's definitely everything from, I have a piece I've been working on, just a little place called the Loma Club where you can go drink beer and play 9 holes of golf. But then, of course, you got Torrey Pines. it's just San Diego is a great place to go for all kinds of reasons. And now that we know beer is one of them, we'll send even more people there. Do you have a few labels that golfers should seek out when they're on their trips? Like, you know, just a few of them that you would tell people that maybe people who love beer don't know about, but they can, you know, they should try, you know, three or four beers.
Oh boy, that's a tough one because, some of the best of these beers are fairly local. I mean, you might not be able to get them. I mean, I mentioned Sierra Nevada. They're all over the country now because they have breweries in both Chico, California, and down in North Carolina. And you can find their beers pretty much anywhere now, and they're in cans. That's been the great breakthrough as far as golf goes. You couldn't really get any good beers because they were all in bottles. And a lot of golf courses wouldn't put bottles in the golf carts.
Right.
Just wind up broken along the way. But now beers are being canned more often than not. And so there's no excuse not to put them in the carts, in the cart girl's cart.
I mean, what you said about making sure you drink locally is a good way to go. That any golfer who goes and, you know, shows up in the 19th hole or some other place that he's, you know, he and the group have gone, you know, need to look at what's local and ask. And I think the key is probably asking a lot of questions, right?
Yeah, I mean, in this world of the internet, it doesn't hurt taking 5 minutes to do a little research before you go somewhere. But more and more, you'll find at the 19th holes, local courses, because players have asked for it, they have at least one or two decent local beers or local craft beers, even if they're not local, will be on tap now. It's almost insane not to do that because the demand is there.
Makes total sense.
Except from you two guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, but talking to you, I mean, obviously, I knew when I go into a restaurant, somebody orders a beer and they have different kinds. I know there are different kinds. I've just never been into drinking beer as a way of kind of enjoying myself at night. The only time I've always really liked beer is if I'm outside and it's really hot, then I'll have a beer, a cold beer, because to me, there's few things as refreshing as the first cold beer.
Right.
Then after that, I kind of go, okay, I can take it or leave it. But I pledge to you, Tom Bedell, that I will try different kinds. I'll try to find one I like and then try to, as I proceed, try to find local stuff that might be more, you know, I'm not going to go in and drink 10 beers. I know guys that will go in and drink 10 beers. So I'll look forward to it. But then you have to get on board with me and Darren. And we'll have to go on the single malt tour.
So. Well, I've been known to drink a single malt now and again.
All right.
It's starting from the same place, you know. We're talking barley here. When you go down, the thing you're going to find is Cart Barn Light, which is a beer brewed by the Back 40 Brewing Company of Gadsden, Alabama, one of the first Alabama craft breweries. They make one called Cart Barn Light, which is the official beer of the Robert Trent Jones Trail.
Wow.
So you can't miss with that. It's about a 4.5% alcohol by volume cream ale. It would be one of those perfect beers for you to have as the first cold beer of the night.
That sounds great.
All right, Tommy, the time has come. We're going to wrap it up, but it's time for you to regale us with a joke that won't make me have to apologize to my mother when she listens to this podcast.
Another tall order. Here's my one clean golf joke. Two guys are out playing golf, and guy hooks his shot into the woods. He and his buddy go look for it, and they find it. And the guy says, you can hit out of here. You can get to the green from here. And the guy says, I don't know. You know, that tree branch is hanging kind of low. And the guy says, nah, just take out your four iron and wail away. So the guy takes out his four iron and wails away. The ball shoots forward, hits the limb of a tree, ricochets, hits him right between the eyes, and he dies instantly. And he ascends to heaven, where he's met by God. God says, welcome to heaven. The guy says, thanks. God says, I hear you're a golfer. The guy says, yeah, I'm a golfer. God says, you any good? He says, well, I got here in two, didn't I?
Ha, 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 ha,
I like it.
Nicely done.
It's rare to hear one you haven't heard before. I had not heard that one before.
Well, it was clean. That was
that's the caveat.
I think you mentioned the Twitter feed, Mitch, and I do have a website, tombedell.com, and there's plenty of golf and beer stories up there, and I think there might be I think I put one of the Alabama stories up there as well, so mm-hmm. You can get a head start there.
All right, great. Well, there's so many places, and I really mean this, if you just go on and Google Tom Bedell Golf, there's so many places that you can go, and I won't go into them now, but all you have to do is click around and you'll see an unbelievable variety, a library of things that you've written about. And it's fantastic. We're all of us are lucky to have you, not just beer drinking golfers, but all of us are lucky to have you writing about the game we all love. So thanks for being with us. And again, Tom Bedell on Twitter, go to Facebook. And if you want to hear some great jokes that we can't tell you here, although I don't know why not, Darren, your mom's not going to listen to this.
You don't know that. Real.
Oh, I do. I do. Because I'm going to get in touch with her and tell her not to. Just for that. Just the end. Anyway, people can go to, at Tom Bedell on Twitter, and they can DM you, follow you, and then you can hit him with a couple that maybe you wouldn't be able to. That's all.
Yeah, the best way, though, is to, belly up to the bar with me, and we'll have
there
a grand
old
time.
That's the way to do it.
Well, you can do that. You'll go someplace that sells beer. Tom might be there. Go to a golf clubhouse that sells beer. Tom might be there. So all in all, just great to have you in the game. Thanks again for being with us, Tom.
Well, thank you, guys. It was fun.
And as always, we have to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without them. You can follow us at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Hit us up with your thoughts about the best in golf travel. We are always looking to talk about new places to play, places you love, even places that you don't like. We'll talk to you about those as well.
Basically, we'll talk to you about anything that has to do with golf or travel. You know, Tom, as we've been talking to him, he was writing for a newspaper. Then he thought, hey, I can maybe write about some other things. Hey, maybe I can write about beer. Hey, maybe I can write about golf. That was a dream. But he's made it work, and he's been incredibly successful at it. We hope you have a dream. We hope you can run it down, too. So long.